Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The independent voice for Houston sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Toward second. Off the glove of Toro into center field. One run scores. Here comes Gurriel. He'll score. Astros take a 2-0 lead.
Coming off a road trip where he hit 300.
He drives one. Deep to left field. Forget about it. Three-run bomb by the rookie Jake Meyers. And the Astros jump out in front 5-0.
That ball hit well to center field. Back Kelenic, and he won't get there. That'll one hop against the fence. Altuve trots home. Yordan Alvarez with an RBI double. Astros now lead 6-0 in the second. It's popped into shallow center. Long run for Kelenic. Is anybody going to get there? No. Drops in for a hit. That will score Gurriel. With the infield in, nobody had a chance to get back on the infield. And Kelenic, who plays a deep center, couldn't make the play on that pop-up to center. This ball down the line. Tough play for Seager. Knocks it down, but no play. That should be a hit for Altuve. A three-hit night and an RBI, and the Astros lead now 8-2. And he drills this one into left center field. That will be down for a hit past the diving Jared Kelenic. Correa scores. Here comes Gurriel. He'll be waved home. He's going to score. Two RBI double for Kyle Tucker.
Altuve reaching base for a fifth time tonight.
That's into center field. That'll be down for a hit. Going one base at a time are the Astros. It is now 11-2. RBI single for Alex Bregman. Ground ball towards Yuli. He'll go to Correa for one. Belak covers, but Yuli will take the throw. Game over. Another double play for Belak. He gets three double plays rolled up in his three innings of work. Astros win 11-2.
And they want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Welcome in, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, back in the saddles, and we got a good show for you today. Jimbo Fisher is going to be joining us in about 13 minutes from now, so you'll hear from the head coach every Tuesday, 7:15, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 8:30, Glenn Davis is going to join us here on the show. We'll talk to him about the men's national team and their struggles to qualify. Boy, they better qualify. They just better qualify for the World Cup. Two ties so far. They got the Honduras on Wednesday night. And so we'll talk to Glenn about what's going on there. Sage Rosenfels joins us at 9:15 here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we haven't talked since, well, you had the show on Friday. I was up in, I flew to Chicago and then had to drive up to Wisconsin. I was up in at the American Club in Kohler, where they're having the Ryder Cup later this month. And you want to talk about a beautiful place. Holy cow. Holy cow. Just awesome.
Did they have TVs for watching football, or did do TVs there?
Yeah, they
don't force you to Wisconsin? Just watch golf stuff?
No, but I did watch Patrick Cantlay when the...
Did they force you to watch Wisconsin-Penn State?
No, they didn't force me to do it. They do kind of force you to watch Brewers baseball. It's on everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was with a bunch of White Sox fans, so... I mean, we got that's some pretty good baseball between the Astros. The Astros talk, the White Sox talk, the Brewers. That's some pretty good baseball we had up there. But they don't force you to do anything. It's America. It's still Wisconsin's still in America, so you don't get forced to do anything up there. But just beautiful place, and it's going to be nice to watch the Ryder Cup later this month. The biggest takeaway from the weekend is, well, first of all, the A's have fallen out of second place. That's one thing.
The A's have turned into the A's.
Yeah.
They're feisty and all that stuff, but they're not. They're just not playing well. Like you said, I mean, it's ever since what's-his-name got hit in the face by the line drive, it just hasn't been the same team. Yeah, right. Bassett. It's just not been the same team.
No. They weren't
even playing that great even then.
They needed pitching anyway, and to lose Bassett, who's probably their best pitcher, is a tough blow for them. That's something they can't overcome. Plus, you know, with their payroll, they are what they are. They get only so far, and that's all they're going to do. They are feisty, though. I tell you, they do a hell of a job finding talent, and a big, strong 6'2", 6'3", bunch of white guys that can really pound the baseball, but it's just not good enough. They're just not when you're when you look at the – of course, I say that, and look at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is just unbelievable. The Astros, who owned run differential for the entire season, are now tied with the Rays at plus 175.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good the Rays are. And the Astros had just been dominant. Dominant. They are 6.5 games behind the Rays right now.
Well, you lost 2-3, and you know, you're coming off a win yesterday, which is great. You pounded Seattle. This is what you do every other series. Every other series, you put 11 runs or more on Seattle, and then, you know, every other series, you struggle to score any runs against them.
Right.
That's the new thing you do.
Right.
But, you know, yesterday, Jake Meyers had a big game. It was nice to see Yordan back. He had a line. He fouled one off of the inside of his knee. It looked just below the knee. I had multiple people. Eric Layden was at the game in San Diego. I'm sorry. In San Diego. He lives in La Jolla now. And he's like, dude, did Yordan, what'd they say about Yordan? Because they're at the game and he's freaking out. He's like, oh my gosh, Yordan looks like he's dead. He had to be helped off the field. It looks serious. I had someone else like, oh, that's a broken kneecap. That's for sure a broken kneecap. And I went back and kept watching the replay, and I didn't think it hit directly on kneecap, but it did look like something that could have kept him out. The way his response to that foul off the inside of the knee looked like it could be serious injury, and yet he took a day off, and there he was yesterday producing an RBI early in the game. Like, it was good to see Yordan back out there and not missing any time, because it was, for a little while, it was very concerning that maybe that was going to be a long-term injury. But, you know, you had a chance to win 2-3 against the Padres, and then, you know, you got Stanicked, and they walk-off home run.
Yeah.
You know, to end the game, which is no good. You lost 2-3 against Padres. It's, you just, you're getting some, the game before Framber was not great. You're just not quite, it's just not quite clicking for the boys. They're good enough to handle their business. That's obviously the case. But, and you see the pieces all there. They just haven't really slotted together yet, where they've all come together and you're playing, you know, you're just playing some rip roaring baseball. That's just not happening right now. It's just good game here, then what happened here, then good game, then okay. And they're not playing the type of baseball yet. It hasn't connected yet to where you feel like, okay, they're serious, serious favorites in the AL. Not the case.
You know what, though? You've seen 1,000 baseball. We've seen baseball seasons all our lives. I'm okay with them not peaking now. They're a 5-5 team right now. They get hot down the stretch. I've seen so many. Look at the Yankees. Oh, my God, the best team in baseball. You know how far they are behind? The Rays? 8.5 games. Just thought to be just the best damn team ever with their run of 19 straight wins or whatever the hell they were. And now look at them. They're 8.5 game behind and just a half game ahead of the Red Sox. So you can always peak too early. This is a good baseball team. You know what? The pitching's got to get, solid. You know, Kendall Graveman has got to regain his form.
Is that bothering you?
A little bit.
A little bit. Me too, because Yumi is not who I thought Yumi was going to be.
No, Yumi is not all that. But you never know. When a guy starts throwing, gets hot down the stretch.
No, I know. That's why, I'm still holding out some hope. McCullers has shown an ability yesterday in the first inning. He had bases loaded and
again,
one out.
Starts so
that's
slow.
Same start as last time, but just like last time, he got out of it.
Yeah.
And the old Lance would have been, that could have been a wrap for him, and he got out of it. And, made a really nasty 2-1 slider pitch that dropped out of the zone. And that's taking a chance. You're looking for a swing and a miss right there, because if that If he takes that, you're sitting 3-1, and it's a lot tougher. And he fouled one off, and then, of course, after that, it was a hard hit ball to shallow right field, hard hit ground ball to shallow right field, where Altuve is there to super scoop it off the super shift. But there's so much for us to get to. But from an Astros standpoint, you know, they keep plugging along. They're going to win the division. I just, my aspirations, your aspirations, everyone's aspirations are getting to a World Series, certainly. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like they're playing that kind of baseball right now. I certainly think they have the ability to,
absolutely.
Clearly. I just, you know, I'd like to see them get on a heater headed into the postseason. They still have time, but the season's starting to close up on you a little bit.
Yeah,
you got to start getting to it a little bit.
Still plenty
of time. I mean, we're in September right now.
Still plenty of time. So they're a 5-5 team over these last 10. They'll get better. This is this team is just too good to be playing the way that they are. You're right. It's so happenstance right now. We've got Jimbo Fisher joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk to him about his team's slow start as well, but they certainly picked it up in the second half and came up with the big cover, and we'll tell you why. But first, let's talk a little bit about Texas Star Grill Shop.
Texas Star Grill Shop, phenomenal work that they do. I took a look at the, got to pick out what I'm going to be using for my own outdoor kitchen. I'm having them build in the outdoor kitchen. I wish I would have had them build it to start with a grill built in, with the refrigerator out there, with a griddle top that you can cook the bacon and the hamburgers on, things like that. I'm so excited about this. But, you know, the great thing is they do financing stuff. So you can get it exactly the way you want it, and you can get it financed. And that's something that's very, very important. You may want to get your entire outdoor living area done exactly the way you want it. You say, I don't have the money for it right now. That's fine. They can help you finance it so that you get exactly what you want right up front. And their design team does an amazing job of giving you an exact rendering of what your project is going to look like. They have, they truly turn your house into a home. And the great thing is when you invest in yourself like that, your property is going to maintain what you put into it. And in many cases, outperform when it comes time to sell in this current market. You truly can turn your house into a home. Look at what they did for me at tcplance.com. Go to texascustompatios.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, time to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. If you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car or truck, there's just no a better way. There just isn't. Ask any business here, because when you're the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Fords, that'll tell you something about it. And how many people knew what Chastang Ford was before? I mean, if you're somebody who listens to this show, you've been hearing about them for a little while now, but they've been in business here. The Chastangs have been selling cars for 80-some years in the city of Houston, and they just weren't a big name. But you know what? They weren't a big name, but they were doing big business because people trusted them, because they were going to get them the best car or truck at the best price they could, and they're going to give them the best service. And that is on the retail side as well. So if you're looking for that kind of service, you're looking for that kind of price, you're looking for that kind of people who are dedicated to you, all you got to do is go to ChastangFord.com. You can customize that Ford car or truck exactly how you want it at ChastangFord.com, or get to the dealership and see the great people there. You will love them. You'll love what they do for you. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, bringing in the head coach on your home for Aggie football, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jimbo Fisher is brought to you every week by Damaris Barbecue right here in the city of Houston. Those are good Aggs now, the Damaris's. That's where they went. They went to Texas A&M. So they want to sponsor the coach, and he's here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Fine. How are you guys?
Doing good. So tell us about the first, hey, I guess, you know, you had a lot of replacements in there, coach, a lot of young guys getting their first playing time. 10-3 at the half. I guess it was understandable, but what were you thinking at halftime when you're only up by 7?
No, we got to finish drives. Two things. I thought we gave up too much yardage defensively. In other words, we played on long fields all the time. We never punted the whole game. And we played, we had 25 plays of 10 yards or more, which are the most of anybody in the country.
Wow.
And at the same time, we still only had 10 points at halftime. And the reason being, we missed a third and one, which I thought we got a spot of reason. I called a first down play. People said it's first down. I had to come back. We called a third down play, come up in short, and then we missed the block on fourth down, which is unexcusable. I mean, we missed that. We had two turnovers. We got facing bad. We had an underneath route that was supposed to clear out. We have a boot we're going to hit, and we stop, get a hand back in there, and then we are retracing on a route. We don't come back to quarterback. We slide out. Two very fundamental mistakes, and I pointed those out, but they led to drives. The rest of the time, we moved the football. We're 9-13 on third down. We're moving the ball, and we just got to calm down and finish drives. And listen, at the time you say, you know, Dak, because we had the ball, that was the only other, we had it five times. And both those, one was about the 30 going in, one was about the 12 or 15 going in. And the other, the conversion was on around the 25 or 30. And, you know, you say, Dak, it's how little things can matter. And as a coach, now that you go back and you're able to win the football game and do the things, you can really point things out that how, you know, drives don't matter. You can have 10 plays in a row. One play can take you away from a drive. But my feelings were that we had to grow up and, you know, mature right there, keep our poise, and make sure that we finish drives and defensively eliminate. We weren't fitting in the pass game. We were trying to get sacked instead of getting affect the quarterback. And there's two different things. You can affect the quarterback by sacking him, which you can do, but you also can condense the pocket. And we weren't condensing the pocket. Our rush lanes got out of whack. And then when we did have a spy, he was getting his nose, as I say, stuck in a honey, getting on one side of the center and letting the gap come out the other, staying more disciplined. And it happened on a couple runs, too. So, you know, trying to do too much a little bit early, and then we just settled down and really played a really good football game in the second half.
Settling down and playing good football was what Haynes King did. And, you know, it's funny because everyone, I think there's a tendency for people on the, you know, fan bases and media to want to just say everything's either black or white. It's one way or another. But the fact is, he had some really bad decisions where he threw on the interceptions, but he had some really good throws as well. I mean, talk about that for a second, Coach.
I'm going to disagree with you. He didn't have bad decisions. Ultimately, you have the ball, but a receiver jumps back into a play after he's clearing out. The ball is going to be hit right into the guy's belly. The second one, when the ball is thrown, the guy's in position to catch the ball. He retraces outside and doesn't retrace inside where he's taught to do it. He's on the first interceptions. Ultimately, you all the responsible for the quarterback with the ball. But those weren't decisions that I considered a poor decision.
Okay.
Now, the one he ran around with and everybody cheered, and he ran around for 22 seconds, and he made an unbelievable play. He actually had one more outlet on the play that he should have got to and had time to. That he got a minus on that one, and he never gets a plus on interception. But from a decision-making standpoint, it was right. So, but he played in the game, and you go back and watch the game. In the third play, he's a third read. He makes it perfect. He's hitting the guy. But ultimately, you got to get the ball over a lineman. But we didn't have pressure on the guy when he was rushing. We had to have hands on the guy to keep the hands down. But he got a tip and a freak thing. So a lot of things that come out that people think he's wrong are the plays that you got to go back and really watch the film.
I thought
he played a really good game. I mean, in the game, I had about four things that I wish he would have done differently on the sides he worked. But two of those, he had a better choice. He didn't have a bad choice, but he had a better choice on the other side, things he's got to go through. But I was not disappointed. I mean,
yeah,
really happy and excited. And the other thing I learned in the game, which you never know, adversity on a quarterback, a young guy, turnover happens, and he comes back and says, Coach, I said, you're right. And instead of getting flustered and upset, okay, let's go to the next play. Never bothered him, put it behind him, never fazed him, and it was something I got to find out really quickly.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's really, you know, it was fun watching him because you could see him going through his progressions. Like, he was not a one-and-done guy. He was getting through progressions. You could see that. I want to talk about getting the ball to your playmakers. Your two running backs, your top running backs, both over 100 yards. Smith goes for over 100 yards receiving. Talk about getting the ball in your best player's hands.
Well, we did it multiple ways. You know, nice, again, the multitude of things from the backfield, from the slot, in the passing game, vertically, and on our screen game, our bubble game, our outlet game, that, you know, really is really an extension of the running game. I mean, we did a good job there. Chapman getting the deep ball in, you know, getting him back and getting that. And Chase Lane, you know, Chase is another guy people can sleep on. Chase can really go deep, too. We'll have to get him going on the deep ball stump. But getting Chap back in there, too, with the size and the diversity. And then, you know, the guy you don't even talk about is 85. I mean, he had four catches and could have had a couple more.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of weapons there as we can choose from. But, you know, getting the ball stretched down the field is critical. And you know that. And then our running back, though, the thing about Spiller, he ran great. He caught the ball great. So if you watch, go back and watch the film because you'll appreciate this, Lance, especially. There was a couple blitzes. I mean, you know, he's always been a solid pass blocker. He was flattering guys right in the face. I mean, taking on pass blocking, his game is so up. And then a chain, all that guy does is just average 10 yards a carry every time you hand it to him. I mean, it's amazing the amount of production and how smooth he is and how he gets the ball to. I mean, I'm not, both those guys have to touch the ball. They have a plan to do it and what you have to do. But you have ability there. And, you know, and then our young offensive line did a good job of creating space for them. But those, and they can catch it and run it. So it's inside or outside. Everybody looks at the chain. He's such a little guy. You say, well, you know, he's got to be an outside guy. That's not true. Both his runs were long runs, actually. Well, one was a bounce, an inside run that bounced, and the other one he hit it inside and ran away from everybody. So, you know, very blessed to have those guys.
I can tell you this, John, to Coach's point, watching off every running back that I write up, the last thing I get to is their pass protection. And if it's one out of every six that are willing to stick a nose in and be physical and square guys up, I'm lucky to see one out of every six willing to do that. And when you do it and you got size and you got ability, that's what makes you a first-round running. I mean, there's first-round talent guys who won't take on in pass pro, and they're not great at catching a ball. Well, you're two down back then.
Do young rookies never, running backs not get on the field early on?
Because they'll get quarterbacks
killed. Killed is exactly right. So it's nice to have that. Certainly nice to have that. Let's talk a little bit about the defense coach. Obviously, Leon with the big game and the 85-yarder. But, you know, Lance has talked about this guy, and, you know, he's the guy that you got to watch. Is Aaron Hansford having a wonderful game, Coach?
He did. I mean, Aaron's a guy who is a very diverse and unique player. Because he has the ability to play off the ball and play linebacker. He can close. And he's really a good pass rusher, too. People don't realize that. He can, as a blitzer and a rusher on the edge, he can create some packages. And getting him back in there and getting him playing was huge. Yeah, I think he had eight tackles, if I'm not mistaken, and where we were. So that was really good, having him there to get back and play. And he's a guy, too. We got to get him in that spy game a little bit, too, because when he does that, he's so athletic that he can get those quarterbacks on the ground. We got to get him going in that ad, but we can also put him in rushing some, too. So, I mean, I thought he played a very solid football game.
Yep. Now, and nothing against Kent State, that's fine, but you're stepping up in class. You see what happened this weekend with LSU going to the Pac-12. Now, you got Colorado this week, Coach Brendan Lewis. He offers something a little bit different. What have you seen about Colorado on tape?
Very physical, big bodies up front on the defensive line, 6'7" guys, 6'6" guys, 325, 280, 290 with big bodies, backers athletic, real good size in the secondary, tackle well, physical, very multitude of blitzes, you know, NFL staff, pressure you different ways, breakdown protections different ways, their blitzes, their stunts, their games, their twist games and what they do offensively, same thing, very multitude. They'll spread you out. They'll bunch you. Know how to create angles in the running game to get leverage. Backs are excellent players. I mean, you've got two or three back guys that are going to be pros. Really good receivers. A great set of 6 foot to 6'2" guys that are 190 to 205 pounds. Athletic, really good-handed. Physical offensive linemen and what they do. Very good sound in the kicking game. You know, just a good football team. It's a very well-coached team. It has size, length, and speed.
How you handling the altitude this week?
You know, going to line up there and play. Get up there a day early. We always go on Thursday. We'll get our kids a little acclimated. When I was at Florida State, you know, we played at BYU, played at Provo. Never bothered us. We played at Boulder, which is actually higher than Denver. Never bothered us. We'll have a little oxygen on the sideline and things like that. But the teams I've been on and the other coach, it's never been a problem.
Yeah. Coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and it's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. So you got one in the books, Coach. I mean, young guys that overall, you know, but not just Haynes King. That's all everybody wants to talk about is the quarterback. But overall, your young guys, how'd they perform?
You know, it was really good. I mean, it's good to see them on the field. I mean, you saw Shamar Turner. I think he had a sack and a half as a young guy. Big body, athletic, you know, did some good things. Some of the defensive players, a lot of the secondary guys got in the game. Tackle well, moved well offensively. I mean, you started a true freshman center. started true freshman center in Bryce Foster, who, I mean, you know this, man, making every call. And this team did multitudes of blitzes. They're three down, four down, a lot of cross, Mickey blitzes inside, a lot of edge pressures, a lot of, I mean, multitudes of blitzes. They were a very diverse package. And, I mean, occasionally a little call here and there, but making adjustments on the run with backers coming down to get the blitz calls to seal up the blocking schemes. I mean, really happy with him. Ackie was a redshirt freshman behind him. Early a couple times, got a little off, but then he really started coming on. Made Robinson his first start. I thought he was physical as heck inside. Kenyon was really good. Jameer, I thought those guys did there up front. You know, and the secondary, Gilbert and those guys, I thought played well. I thought Chappelle, you can see he's going to be a really good player. We've got to get those guys acclimated and keep putting them in the game. And what we're doing, just, I know there may be one or two I missed here, but I thought a really solid group of guys. And like you say, in today's time, the quicker you can get these young guys ready and build depth and quality guys, it's the better you're going to be.
Hey, one last question, Coach. I don't know where John and I were doing a radio show, obviously, and we had Coach Ken Hatfield on at the time. We were talking. He was head coach at Rice, and we knew there was something going on with the planes in New York that hit the Twin Towers. And I wondered, where were you? Because I bring this up because for those of you who watched any of the game, this Saturday was the 9/11 game. The Aggie faithful wanted to honor the 20-year anniversary with red, white, and blue shirts the same way they did it 20 years ago. In the same stadium. Wanted to ask you what that was like being in the stadium for that, and also what you were doing on 9/11 when the terror acts happened.
You know, that looking up at the stadium, the way, and you know the way our stadium is divided with the three different levels, and being able to do that red, white, and blue, it was utterly amazing. I've never seen anything like it as far as, and our stadium really enhances it because of how it sets up. It was beautiful. It was unbelievable, and I think, I guess they freedom isn't free, guys. There's a lot of people paid their life, and what A&M has done, our military and our freedom and the history of this country is unprecedented. And the respect I have for that and what it stands for was unbelievable. But yeah, I can remember this day. We were getting ready to play Auburn 2001. And I was sitting in the offensive staff room at the end of the staff table, getting ready for a game. We would open that year. It was a big game in 2001. We had to play them and end up moving the game. What happened? But I remember sitting there, I was getting prepared, and I was watching guys running out in their office doing their breakdowns of what they had to do, and I was studying some film, and the guys come in, and I said, oh, my God, I said, a plane just flew into the World Trade Center. I said, what? I said, well, that was crazy. And I never got up, but I said, man, so I thought, you know, maybe the pilot has a heart attack or something malfunctioned in the plane. You know, I mean, just thought complete accident. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, this is golly. And so I actually kept watching film. I said, that's awful. I thought about it. I'm sitting there watching film, and I guess, 8-10 minutes later, however long it was, I can't remember exactly that part, but they came in and said, another one did, and I said, what, you got to be kidding me? And they said, they think it's, and then I remember getting up and going to the TV and started watching, and then, of course, the collapse, I mean, you know, the tragedies that happened, and I'll never forget sitting there, like, I'm sitting there just going in awe. I mean, and I'm a guy who gets grinding and balling, sometimes the world goes, doesn't, I don't know what's going on in it. I remember that whole day, it totally upset me, scared me. I mean, you know, put here, like, what is going on here? What is happening? I mean, is this, you know, and then I remember, and they canceled the games that week, and I remember going back to games. That ball sports helped the country heal, but also, I remember going into stadiums that right after that, thinking in the back of my mind, is something else going to happen at one of these big places? I mean, we were in a time of true crisis, and, you know, it never happened in unprecedented on our soil, but I remember exactly where I was talking. I remember the guys I was with and everything that went on.
It was a terrible day, that's for sure. And, you know, Aaron brought it up in our ear. He said, hey, you got guys on your team that weren't even born yet. Yeah. So you got to, you know, they got to learn what that's all about, because that's what you, when you're playing this Saturday, 9/11. So, Coach, man, that was a beautiful sight on Saturday with the red, white, and blue. And best of luck this week going up to Mile High and taking on Colorado. We'll definitely be watching, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. Have a great day.
All right, thanks.
There he is, Jimbo Fisher, right here every week. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. If you haven't seen the new barbecue, by the way, you want your eggs, you can watch all your college football NFL package as well over at Damaris Barbecue. So if you're looking for a great way to get your football on with great wing specials as well, go see my peeps over at Damaris. You might just see a radio host there at some time watching football.
Yep.
Maybe see a coach there every once in a while. Yeah.
Seth
Payne does stop. I would imagine he stops there if he wants to. You know,
I see a radio host like a Matt Thomas.
Right. You could see a Matt Thomas there. I think he likes chicken wings.
Chance.
Yeah. And barbecue.
Yeah.
And that last I checked looking at him.
You go?
Huh?
You go?
Yeah, I go there. Yeah. Well, you go there?
Yeah. I haven't been for a while.
No. I know. That's on you.
I don't go to down Shepherd Way.
Yanni appreciates that, too.
Well, tell him to bring some food in here. Well,
I know.
Fries.
I know, right? No, he's got great fries. He's got great fries.
Raul Cobos has brought food in like 14 times, Yanni zero.
Well,
over the last 2 years.
I know. But he's got the really crispy fries.
Wouldn't know.
They're excellent.
Wouldn't know. They've never been in studio.
Well, then, Yanni, get off your lazy ass. 731 ESPN 97.5.
Hey, when we come back, I want to talk about our own Aaron Raybould had a little bit of a Twitter rant yesterday. He had a little bit of a Twitter rant, and I can't say I blame him. We'll tell you what set him off in Houston sports yesterday. I don't know if it was Houston sports or if it was Houston sports media / fan base, but I understand his frustration. I understand your frustration if you're a little upset about what your homeowner's insurance is. Now, here's the thing. You're not going to be frustrated yet, but when you text the word money to 232323, they've got a setup where you'll get a price sent to you. Well, the first thing they do is ask for your address. You send it in. Immediately, the algorithms get to work. Within 15 seconds, you're going to have a text sent back to your phone, and it's going to give you a firm quote on homeowners insurance. And the question then becomes, wait a minute, why have I been paying as much as I've been paying this long? Well, it's probably because you haven't shopped homeowners insurance. And this is a great opportunity for you to save money. All you have to do is text word money to 232323. That's 232323. And our good friends over at TGS Insurance will get the hookup for you so you can start getting A-rated insurance for discounted rates. It's never been simpler. Put more money, your money back in your pocket by texting the word money to 232323 or go to TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 735 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Aaron, who got a little feisty last night with the people. Apparently, there was a landmark, and you want to talk about, like, when Haynes King was announced on our show, Jimbo Fisher made the news, and you know what? And it was actually breaking news throughout the country because there really was, it had not been announced. There was a competition between Haynes King and Zach Calzada. And then when Hudson Card won the job at University of Texas, it was kind of a big deal, mm-hmm. because there was a competition. Well, there was a competition here in the city of Houston that really, didn't get nearly as much attention, but when it was announced yesterday, I mean, some people actually thought this was like some kind of breaking news or something.
What?
That this was kind of a big deal.
Aaron, what happened?
Well, I spent the entire day off of social media just because it was a day off. I wanted to relax, spend some time with my wife, enjoy my weekend. And right before making dinner, I pull up Twitter and I start scrolling through and I see trending Deshaun Watson, and I see people on my timeline, including media members, of what does this mean for Deshaun Watson? I'm sitting there going, there's no way he got traded. My phone would have blown up with, oh, he's gone. No, David Culley has named Tyrod Taylor the starting quarterback for the Texans, which, oh my god, that means the Deshaun Watson era in Houston is officially over. Because in January, when he said, I want out, I am never picking up a football for you guys again, that was all just smoke and mirrors. He was just playing a ruse.
What? Like, this was some kind of a surprise to some people?
I wish I had screenshotted it. When I went through the trending, I wish I had screenshotted all the people.
Deshaun, who hasn't taken a snap with the team in how long?
Who told the people a zillion years ago that he wasn't playing for the... He'd never take another snap for the Texans.
That's been the fourth string safety?
That has never even went to a preseason game.
No.
None of this stuff. Tyrod Taylor has gotten all the reps with the ones in preseason. This is literally, are you telling me there were people who acted like this was a story? Like this was something the wait a minute. This is officially as soon as they traded for Terod, or as soon as they brought in Terod Taylor, that was pretty much, and then drafted Davis Mills, that was it. That's when you knew, okay, this is pretty much it for Deshaun Watson as a Houston Texan.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There are people who acted like yesterday they had been waiting with bated breath, like they didn't know what for sure was going to be the case in week one.
Not only fans, not Texans guy, not, you know, Texans Debbie.
Yeah, because I've heard fans who, I heard a Jeff. Fan the other day on the radio say, oh, no. This is the big secret. The Texans are going to unleash Deshaun Watson in week one, and no one will have prepared for it. They're not unleashing anything if he's not practicing.
Members of our media going, well, I think it's official now. Deshaun Watson is never going to play for the Texans again. Are you kidding me? Turn in your letter of resignation. Turn in your credential. If you thought that for some reason they were going to keep that a secret, that he was actually prepping to be the starter, and you know David Culley was going to go out and go, well, guys, it's been a hard-fought camp, and as it looks now with the roster, I think our best bet to win is to put Deshaun Watson at quarterback. If you thought that was actually going to happen, now, we all said, and Bucky Brooks has told you, Lance, play him, force his hand. Tell him if you're going to be here and you're going to collect this money, you're going to play. We all know the Texans don't have the balls to do that.
They didn't do it.
So if you were one of those people in the media hanging on to that thread that, oh, God, they might actually pull. No, you're even more naive. I got some oceanfront property in Arizona for you. Oh, guys, hold up. Breaking news. Yeah. When it rains for more than 30 minutes, Houston floods a little bit.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
That happened again the other day.
Yeah.
We got hard rain and it, you know,
yes,
had,
so
to,
I heard.
Had a flood.
That's, yeah. I saw it was carp path only at Pine Forest.
Can you play some more breaking news, by the way?
Yeah.
When you're out of town? I got some breaking news for you. Really sad, for those of you who keep up with this, actually some really sad story here to tell you. Agnes Moffitt. Are you familiar with Agnes Moffitt?
No.
Well, that's the park over there off of Hammerly and the Beltway.
Okay.
One of the better disc golf courses.
Baseball,
it was completely
USA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The disc golf course, I went on Sunday, completely flooded. I didn't think, two or three of the holes were not even playable.
What's the difference? Because you throw it underwater. Through, it doesn't, you don't hit the ground.
You have to get through the water. It lands in water.
You wear some galoshes.
Well, my shoes became galoshes when I played. You also don't get any kind of rolls if you throw a roller.
You don't roll.
If you throw a certain way,
you're supposed to keep
a
disc in the air.
No, it can land and roll for you if you throw a certain way, a certain angle.
Yeah.
You know, you just.
So you didn't get any roll on your frisbee?
No, your water, it was submerged in water.
Yeah.
Worse. It was completely underwater.
Yeah.
Today is National Beer Day. National Beer Lovers Day, John Granato likes Coors Light. Breaking news.
Guess what I'm
breaking
having today.
News.
Breaking news. Guess what I'm going to drink today. Coors Light. All right? The world's most refreshing beer. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. Coors Light. That's where I'll be today. And National Beer Day. That's where you're damn right.
So So you're telling me Deshaun is not starting this week?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to finally go in.
Actually happening.
So now our fantasy auction, which we have tonight, I'm definitely not going to put $10 on Deshaun Watson. I'm not doing it now.
No.
Not that Terod Taylor was named, because for a second I was holding out hope. I thought, you know what? I'm going to be the steal of the draft, Sean Watson.
No, the steal of the draft is going to be Terod Taylor. And guess what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to grab me Terod Taylor, maybe
you,
in the first $25.
I would load up with him if I were
That's
you.
What I'm going to do.
For sure.
That is what I'm going to do.
For sure.
Hey, let's go over the, when we come back, let's go over the college football weekend.
Man, three really good players were lost for the year over the weekend.
Yeah.
Three really good players were lost for the year over the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk a little aqueduct plumbing. I tell you, we didn't talk about them last week. And I was like, hey, why didn't we talk about Billy and Mary last week? Because I really, really like these people. And the most important thing about when you're trying to get a plumber is that you can trust him. Okay. First of all, they're going to come. Most every plumbing company in this city or in the surrounding area. And by the way, Aqueduct Plumbing Company will go anywhere. And if you can hear us, they will go everywhere. Beaumont, they'll come to see you. They will go all over the entire area. But when they do come to see you, what most plumbing companies are going to do is they're going to charge you $69, $79, whatever it is, just to come and look and give you a consultation. They don't charge you a dime. At Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And here's the deal. The thing about them is that you can trust that they're going to do the work. They're going to do it great.
because they are so conscientious. They're in here. They're local, and you're going to love Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
Yeah, and, you know, it's whether it's you can get the tankless water heaters put in, you can get repiping done, which are the major jobs. Whether it's a major job or a lesser job, it doesn't matter. You got the leaking faucets. They'll fix that. They'll fix, and but you can trust them on the major jobs. And that's something that we really love to stand by, is making sure that the people we recommend are good quality people who do great work at real affordable, at affordable prices, and you can trust the work that they're doing. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com, AQUEDUCT, PlumbingCompany.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
All right, time to talk about my man, Keith Tate, over at Hoop Sporting Goals and Equipment. Just the best darn goal that you'll ever see. Don't go to the box store. But first of all, you get a goal from the box store. And, you know, it's on a stand, a stanchion, and you wheel it. I don't know how you get it home because it's so darn big. I have no idea. But the box store just says, here's your goal. Go have fun. What? How do I make it stable? How about the installation at Hoops is second to none? How about the product is second to none? How about that you can raise and lower the goal? How about that it is, Keith Tate's been in business here for 25, 30, going to 30 years, doing the same thing and giving the best product to the industry to everybody and doing it better than everybody else. So if you're looking for the best goal for your kids and they want to raise and lower the goal, Dad, so that they can actually enjoy it, all you got to do is go to produnkhoops.com. You'll see that it is the best. It's not even arguable. Tell Keith Tate that you heard it right here. You're looking for the best goal in the history of goals. Produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. If I said one thing that stuck out for you this college football weekend, what would it be?
I'm really legitimately going to say, I'll save that for something else. I would say the Sooners are in trouble. That's one.
First thing that sticks out to me is the Texas look pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think, and that kind of goes with Sooners are in trouble, potentially. You don't have that kind of trouble. Okay, number one, Tulane is well coached by Willie Fritz. Number two, but this is still a team that has been just completely upended because of Hurricane Ida. Everything from a preparation standpoint, everything. So they went and played a home game at Oklahoma against Oklahoma. And Chris Watt, who was a former NFL offensive lineman, he played for Notre Dame. He's done a great job with that O-line, and they were running a ball on Oklahoma. Oklahoma had their hands full of Tulane. And I think that's a really bad sign for Oklahoma. And that's not even a shot at Tulane so much. It's just saying, I don't think Spencer Rattler, I've never been a Spencer Rattler guy, but it's still very early. We'll see what happens. He was a freshman last year. But I don't get the sense that he's the guy right now and that that's the team that is going to be a major factor in the playoffs this year. They usually are, but I think this is a really bad foreshadowing that they struggle like this against Tulane and have trouble against the Tulane team. Like I said, they had a lot to deal with this week, and they come out and play Oklahoma like that. I think that's trouble for Oklahoma. And, you know, I think Spencer Rattler, the Heisman, based on what I saw from Bryce Young, it's going to be hard for Spencer Rattler to win a Heisman Trophy if his team is going to have up and down performances. When you have Bryce Young, who, I mean, to me, looks like he's got a chance to be the most talented quarterback ever to come out of Alabama. That's one game. I get it. But, man, does he look good.
Well, but they don't usually, you know, Tua and Jalen. But normally it's guys that look like Mac Jones that are the quarterback at Alabama. So, most talented, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a big bar.
Well, I didn't think Jalen was super talented. Like, he was like a three-star coming out.
No, but more athletic. I mean, Bryce Young has it all. He has it all.
Bryce has it all.
He has it all.
I mean, the guy that you compare him to would be Tua. But he's more athletic than Tua. Yeah. He's a better athlete than Jalen. This is a serious, serious athlete And then he threw the ball with, like, he threw it like a passer. He didn't throw it like a running quarterback.
Yeah. LSU's in some trouble now.
Yep.
They don't look good. Offensive, Derek Stingley did not look good.
I think this might be Chip's year, though. Chip has been building towards this. I think Chip Kelly, I thought he was a very live dog. They were 2.5. I thought they had the wrong favorite. I thought UCLA should have been the favorite in that one.
Oh, I didn't. I thought LSU was going to walk in there and show.
I watched UCLA last week, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I did research on UCLA before last week when they dusted Hawaii. You know how many guys they have returning? Like, this is lined up for Chip to have. And then I heard there's running backs that he was very, very excited about his running backs. That's why I thought they had wrong favorite on that one. I didn't see anything from LSU that told me they should go out west and be a favorite over what I thought was a good UCLA team. I think it is. I think Chip Kelly's got himself. I don't like their quarterback, but I think he's got a good team.
That, to me, I thought was going to be a problem.
I like Butte.
But they did anything they wanted to do.
Butte's good. The O-line's going to have to really – they got some work to do up front with the O-line. And then Max Johnson is we'll see what happens with him. I mean, he had some really good – he had a great spring, but it's a spring.
Yeah.
No, I mean, a spring game. Not a spring game, but, yeah, their spring game.
I don't mean anything.
And that's it.
Well, they're Clemson and Georgia – Tony Elliott, their OC, you got the sound of, do you have him? Do you have any sound to him? He's like really their OC. Apparently he used to work at Michelin as an engineer.
How long ago was that?
Well, that was a while ago, obviously, because he's been in football for a while now and he's the OC. But apparently he says, I've already got the Twitter finger sending me hate mail telling me that I suck and I need to be fired. I need to go back to Michelin. And things of that nature. Well, you put up a 3 again. Now, I know Georgia is really good, and Georgia is really tough defensively.
Georgia's
and all
defense
that.
Is real. Serious yeah. problem.
No.
How that over-under was over 30, I have no idea. It was 51. Free money.
Holy crap. But
Georgia's losing. They're missing their two best wide receivers. Then Clemson, who has no offensive line, had to try to score against Georgia. Like, there was no chance that thing was going to get up that high.
It was, and it was just a war. And, you know, I know, listen, I call him Ukulele because I just can't pronounce his name. So I apologize. But, yeah, he was not in any position at all night long. He was a little, he was off, but that Georgia defense is real. Real. That is going to be interesting to see when Alabama and Georgia hook up, and they will hook up.
How can they score? How can Georgia score?
That's true.
DJ Daniel didn't look very good. JT. DJ was their DB last year.
He'll be better than he was. But I'm going to tell you what, that is going to be two heavyweights just punching it out or in the corner, just a bunch of jabs. So, breaking news, we got Tom Brady going to start for the Bucks. Thank you after our breaking news in the last segment. Thank you for that. But Georgia looks really, really, Georgia looks like with that defense that they can play with anybody, that they're going to be a playoff team, and they can play with anybody in the country when you're playing defense like that. What else? Anything else stuck out? Well, Alabama 44-13 over Miami. If Dell was here, we'd tell them how much they suck. But that's just Miami being Miami. U of H. Holy crap! You want to talk about being dominant in the first quarter? After they scored on I think it was a 17-play drive to start the game. They onside kick it, go down and go up 14-0, and man, I know Tyler Shuck is good. And I know that he's a good looking quarterback, but you should not be dominated the rest of the game the way that they were. And again, Clayton Toon, 4 interceptions. He's just killing them. I'll argue with Dana, and I have argued with him about this that he's like, oh, it wasn't his fault. But you know what? He's gonna be. He doesn't make good decisions. He doesn't have the arm strength to fit into tight windows. He doesn't make good decisions at all. It's just, he's killing them. He's killing them. And he can't throw four picks and destroy a chance to win a football game that was very winnable.
Here's a Cougar fan who said, Clayton Toon is just not good. To me, a.k.a. he bleeping sucks. That's not a compliment, I don't think. Look.
I don't think you have to throw an a.k.a. in there.
I don't know. No. I don't know if Dana has anybody else he can get to, but Clayton Toon, what is this, year three? He hasn't really done the job.
It's his third year now.
It's a lot of years to get a chance to do the job and not do the job. And it's not all on him, but that's a problem. There was a lot. College football offered a lot up. We saw Jimbo. If you didn't hear it, you need to go back and listen to Jimbo Fisher interview if you're an Aggie. Jimbo was very happy with his team. That's what I took away from that. He had a lot of positives that he got to, including Haynes King. I thought the Longhorns, Hudson Card to me looks more talented than Sam Ehlinger. He's got an athletic release. He is very mobile and agile. He's kind of smooth when he gets away from pressure. He doesn't even look like he's trying, and he can really, really run. He's got a quick, twitchy delivery where Ehlinger had a longer, release that could get him in some trouble at times. I think that Texas team under Sark has got a chance to make some noise. Bijan Robinson is just fantastic. Good. Man, does he cut it up the field? Like he is just what I do want to mention quickly, three college football players out for the year who are all very talented. Chris Allen from Alabama looks like he's going to be done for the year. Pass rusher, edge defender from Alabama. Ronnie Bell, receiver from Michigan. He had one catch for 76 yards. It was a touchdown. He had another one-handed grab, which was as good as you will see, where he got called up with an offensive pass interference. A terrible call, I thought. And then Mo Ibrahim in the Thursday night game, Ohio State, Minnesota. He rushed 30 times for 163 yards and hurt his lower leg. He is out for the year. So I don't know if any of these guys think they could come back but are shutting it down prematurely because of draft stock. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. But three very good football players who are going to be out for the year, Mo Ibrahim, Ronnie Bell, and Chris Allen. So sucks to see those three guys out already this early for the year, but that's the sport. It's a rough sport. I'll tell you what else is rough: getting to a website and that you really want to go to for information and seeing, oh my gosh, this is like, I can tell this is some WordPress site that somebody put no effort into, and it's just meant to give you the bare minimum. If you give people the bare minimum about your small to medium sized business now, you are really potentially costing yourself a ton of money. And here's why. Your competition, I guarantee you have competition who are putting money into their site and getting their sites professionally done by, well, SiteJab, for example. They're based right here in Houston, have been for over two decades, and they do a phenomenal job of not only getting your site looking great and getting the information out there, but they do video integration. They can do e-commerce. They have the latest widgets to add to your website. They really make it your site, a site that people are going to, it's going to look good. They're going to stay on the site getting more of your information, and they're going to make it easy to transition those eyeballs into business leads for you. Make sure that you go to sitejab.com and see all their suite of products. SiteJab, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.